In 2000, in the United States, Congress stepped in and restricted the licensing of what is known as low-power FM or LPFM. Since then, a 10-year battle waged by community groups and media advocates led to a law to repeal the restrictions on LPFM radio stations. Just last week, on January 5th, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, the equivalent to the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission in Canada, released a report which finds that community radio stations don't hurt commercial broadcasters in terms of listenership or financially. I'm speaking today with Nan Rubin, board chair of the Prometheus Radio Project and founder of her business Community Media Services. Nan, what does this study mean for yourself and other media activists in the States?
We were very pleased with this study. The situation with low-power radio here in the U.S. and the FCC has been that the major opponent for starting all of these small stations, we're talking about radio stations that are no more than 100 watts in power, which means that depending upon their location, they maybe can go 2, 3, 4 miles, maybe 5 miles, but we're talking a very small area and very low power. So it's not like one of these big commercial powerhouse stations or anything like that. So our biggest opponent for supporting this service, which is really local, has been the National Association of Broadcasters, which is the very big industry membership organization for commercial radio and TV in the U.S. And their argument for opposing this service was that these really small local stations that didn't reach very many people were going to put them out of business because they were going to take all the advertising money away. Now, we might think that's a kind of foolish argument, that it really doesn't make any sense, but the NAB decided that they were going to try and do everything they could to impede the production of low-power radio services and the creation of new stations. So the first thing they did was change the rules when the FCC issued rules to make the rules more restrictive. And after 10 years, we were able to change that and get the rules to be more flexible for new stations. And the second thing they did was insist that low-power radio was going to take their business away. So the Congress here in the U.S. required the FCC to do an economic study to show whether or not this was a true threat to the commercial broadcasters. So this report that the FCC released last week indicating that, in fact, low-power radio is no economic threat to the big commercial broadcasters, doesn't take away their business, and, in fact, provides a very strong local service, is a big victory for us. Even though we've known all along that was the case, this is the actual documentation to show that low-power radio is really not going to threaten any of these big commercial radio stations.
Can you talk more broadly about the media ownership in the United States and what LPFM add to the radio landscape in the States?
That's a really good question, because the struggle over media ownership has been going on here for a very long time. There are a lot of rules that the FCC has had historically to keep ownership between media organizations separate, where a TV station could not own a newspaper or only could own a very small number of stations. And those rules all began to change, about 15, maybe 20 years ago. And the FCC started relaxing those rules and allowing more ownership by a single entity of stations, so that instead of being restricted to, say, 5 stations across the U.S. or 10 stations across the U.S., they kind of lifted that restriction. And they also allowed more what they were calling cross-ownership, the ability for one organization, one corporation, to own radio, TV, and newspapers, all serving a single market. So you had a single source of news and information and entertainment from one group where they might own a lot of same stations in the market. and not have a lot of different sources of news or different voices on the air. That's been going, I don't want to say back and forth, but at the FCC, there's been a major policy proposals around tightening the rules so that the corporations had to own fewer media outlets and loosening the rules so that the FCC would allow them to own more media outlets. And within the last 7 or 8 years, the FCC tried to implement a rule to allow more ownership and more consolidation. We're talking about the ability of one organization to own thousands of radio and TV stations around the United States without any restrictions on them. And the Prometheus Radio Project actually, in 2004, went to court to challenge the FCC loosening those rules and won the position where the courts agreed with Prometheus that the FCC should not allow loosening the rules, that they should remain restricted within the market areas. And they ordered the FCC to go back and do a new study and to come up with some new policies. That position was reaffirmed a few years ago in 2007, with the courts once again ordered the FCC to go back and rewrite their policies to not allow the loosening of ownership rules so there could be more ownership. And just 2 weeks ago, we were very surprised and very disappointed. The FCC came up with a new set of proposed rules that once again proposed loosening the ownership rules within the United States. And we were very surprised because we thought maybe they wouldn't do that again, but they're still doing it. The last time when this happened, the FCC was required to do public hearings. They went around the country and had public hearings in a lot of different cities. And we were able to help organize, along with a lot of other groups in the U.S. and local organizations, to have packed hearing rooms and a lot of people testifying against the continued consolidation of media ownership. So it looks like we're going to have to do that again. We were kind of hoping we wouldn't have to, but it looks like we're going to do that again. So we're actually starting to work with a lot of the media reform groups and other interested political parties to mobilize people once again to show up at these hearings and basically insist that the FCC not loosen the rules again, that it's really not in the public interest for them to continue letting these large corporate interests basically buy up all the media.
And in your opinion, why has the struggle for access to LPFM licenses taken so long?
It's taken so long in part because this has been not a regulatory issue, which is just to go to the federal agency like the FCC and go through the regulatory process, which maybe would take a year or two. Because the NAB got Congress to pass a law changing the rules, it's a legislative issue, which means the only way that we could change it was to change the law, not just the regulation that the FCC put in place. And that has turned into be, particularly with the state of politics here in the U.S. being so divided, and under George Bush for the last 8 years until President Obama was elected, the legislation, Congress just did not want to deal with it. And it wasn't until a year ago, after a tremendous amount of advocacy work, education, and really working very closely with several people in the Senate and in the Congress, from both the Republicans and the Democrats, that legislation was introduced and was actually passed. So it's because the process really took that amount of time, and it took us that long to get the political support to change the rules.
The FCC is expected soon to open a new window, a short period where they accept low-power radio FM applications. Are there certain criteria after which the FCC will decide whether to give licenses to new stations?
The FCC will be opening a window. They will be giving licenses to new stations, and they're in the process right now of determining the criteria for how those will be determined. The technical criteria are fairly straightforward, and more, we're expecting something that will be more along the lines of the criteria that they put in place for the last window. The window means that they'll open up a specific period of time when licenses will be accepted, and then they'll close that period of time. So if you want to apply for a license, it has to be within the specified week or 2 weeks that they'll say put in the applications. And what we found the last time, and this was 10 years ago already, so we don't know if it'll be very different, that organizations could meet their technical criteria, but the FCC also asked that they meet certain local criteria, so they had to be a local organization. They had to promise to put on a certain amount of local programming, and they got points for how long they had been around. So if the organization was one that had been in existence for more than a few years, they got more points towards their application. If it was a brand new organization, they got fewer points. But we also saw there was a fair amount of competition, and we expect to also be encouraging groups to collaborate and maybe work in partnership with each other so they all can share a license instead of having to just compete for it. We know that there will be quite a few applications submitted by some of the large evangelical church organizations who are also eligible to get these licenses. And there are many church organizations that have been broadcasting with very excellent local programming and community programming, but there are also a lot of church groups that really are just missionary-type programs. You know, that's really all they want to do. So we're hoping to encourage local groups to work together politically to be able to have good, progressive, locally-based, community-based programming services instead of one that's going to be national programming or just sectarian religious broadcasters.
And what are the issues community radio still faces in the United States and the work which has to be done in the future?
Well, as you know, we're in the middle of gearing up for a big presidential election.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that there'll be any news stations on the air before that, before then. But local communities, you know, the groups that are involved in this are clearly going to be caught up in the electoral issues. And the biggest ones have to do with the economy, of course, which is not just how the economy is affecting local communities, which is, you know, is having a severe effect all around the country with people out of work. It's having a tremendous effect on education and the school systems and students being able to get education. Another huge issue here is immigration and the policies around people who don't have documentation for being in the United States. These are issues that are not going to go away anytime soon. So we're expecting that those will be ones that will be front and center with any new broadcasters in their local community and, of course, in any national programming and national campaigns and national radio production that's being, you know, there are a lot of collaborations here with people sharing programming, et cetera. So we know that these issues will be coming up. We know they're having they're already having a tremendous impact on the stations on the air now. And then there are ancillary issues as well. Two additional issues that have come up quite a bit locally and nationally are issues relating to reproduction and women's health and the effort to restrict women's ability to get contraception. This is a national issue that's come back in the United States. We've also seen issues relating to race continue to come up and will continue to come up. It ties into the immigration issue, but it's not the only issue. With the fact that we elected a black man as president of the United States, race has become much more visible as a political wedge issue here in the United States. And one more issue that we know is probably going to continue to be divisive and has showed up in a lot of places, though there's a lot of headway that's being made, is the whole issue of same-sex marriage. More states are going to be passing same-sex marriage laws to allow them, and it means that in other states, they're probably going to try and tighten up their rejection of same-sex marriage. So the way that's going to come down here in the United States over the next couple of years is those states that do not allow same-sex weddings, will they recognize same-sex weddings that have been performed legally in other states? This is a big issue in the United States. You know, there's many issues relating to the fact that each state has different, can pass their own laws, but they're required by the Constitution to recognize laws that are legally passed in other states. So this is going to come down very much on the issue of same-sex marriage and what happens with that. So we're looking at all of those things in the next few years. Low-power radio is going to be going on the air. The local communities are all involved in these issues, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot of involvement in terms of the broadcasters in promoting dialogue around all of these things.